Almost 5 years ago, my next guest got a call out of the blue from the then finance minister, the late Brian Lenihan. He was asked to decide that day whether he would head up the new National Asset Management Agency. NAMA started off life as the largest property company in the world, and Frank Daly was the man put in charge of the unique task of running it into the ground by 2020. He's with me now in studio. Frank Daly, good morning to you.
Morning, Sean.
I suppose the first thing to do is ask you about something said overnight by Michael Noonan. He was at the Dáil's Finance Committee last evening, and he was asked about the possible earlier wind-up of NAMA. Here's some of what he had to say.
I've asked them, for example, what will be the consequences of, at the end of 2015, taking the whole residual NAMA book and doing what IBRC did to their book, selling it all off in a six-month period. So I want to see how that would pan out. I've asked them as well to look at how would it, if you had 17 or 18 billion of a residual book and you divided it into three-thirds and you were to timeline it and sell it off that way, how would that work out? I've other people then looking at one of the there's a kind of a simple equation, like, do you sell quick and have very little upside? Or do you hold out, hoping the property values go up so that there's a bigger return to the Irish taxpayer in 2025, you know?
So that's the minister speaking last night at the Dáil Finance Committee. Frank Daly, obviously policy decisions are for the government to take, but what's your observation just about those questions raised by the minister?
Well, first of all, I think it's very reasonable and very timely that those questions should be raised, because NAMA, we're 5 years in existence now. We're probably doing indeed much better, I think, than most people would have said 4 or 5 years ago. A friend of mine said to me recently, he said, there's a real danger, in fact, that NAMA is going to be a success. What do you think of that? So I think it's reasonable to be asking those questions. It's also required in the legislation that there should be a review of NAMA 3 or 4 years on. And the questions being posed by the minister are the ones we would be asking ourselves. You know, what is the best way to get a return here for the Irish people? Do we keep going with the accelerated sales process that we have at the moment that has brought us to the situation where, you know, we already have 35% of our debt paid down, where we're on target to pay 50% of it by the end of the year? So we're doing a lot of analysis of that right now. The one thing I would say is I think it needs to be done fairly quickly, and we want to accelerate the process of doing that analysis so that we can come to a view. Because there is great interest in Ireland, there is great interest among investors, there is great interest in the NAMA portfolio. We have to realise, of course, you know, that the people who are interested, they're not philanthropists. They are in this, obviously, to make a profit for themselves. So the key balancing question is, what is the balance of advantage for the Irish people? Is it to let NAMA continue to accelerate its sales process, doing quite well as we have been doing right now? Or do we bundle it up, as the minister has said, among other things? Does that get a better return? It's not, by the way, I would say, Sean, all about economics and all about finance. It's also about whether there are other things that NAMA is doing that we should continue to be doing. We are investing in the Irish economy. We are providing social housing. We are getting into the business of providing houses, particularly in the Dublin area where, you know, there is an emerging shortage. So I think all of that needs to be weighed in the balance. Now is very timely to do it. And we will give the minister our views in the coming weeks, and I'm sure then the minister will weigh everything up.
Yes, but would you accept, for instance, that the level of international interest in property investment in this country, there's no guarantee that it will endure for maybe more than a few months or maybe a year or two?
No, there's not, and I suppose that's the one imponderable in the middle of all this, because you can do all the analysis you like, but I mean, you're trying again to forecast the market, you're trying to forecast investor interest. Right now, there is very, very strong investor interest. There is an awful lot of property for sale out there, and NAMA is not the only entity that is deleveraging. I mean, you have other entities, other banks, who have announced that they're going to be selling into the market. So there is an appetite. But how strong that appetite and how long it will continue, we don't know. So you want to grasp the opportunity of maybe availing of that, but also you want to make sure that what you do doesn't in any way destabilise the market or destabilise the country. And one of the collateral benefits, I think, of NAMA over the last number of years has been the way in which we dealt with the Irish market, the way in which we stayed away from it. We didn't flood it over the first number of years. We concentrated on the UK market. And then in the last 6 or 8 months, we have been able to get into the Irish market more actively. So our approach, the way we did it, has had a stabilising effect. So I think that's another consideration in all of this debate.
Might it destabilise the market, to use that phrase, were you to put everything up for sale at the end of next year? That's one of the options you're being asked to look at.
If you ask me my personal opinion of doing that right now, I think whether it would destabilise the market, I'm not sure. Whether we would get the best price for it, I doubt it. Remember, right from the beginning of NAMA, we've had people knocking on our door offering us derisory prices for our assets. I think they are much more realistic now, partly because we convinced them that we didn't actually have to sell in a hurry. So I think you've got to take all of that into account. We're getting good prices right now. Let's be realistic about it. It would be prudent to take advantage of those if we can. But there will be an upside for somebody in this. And I think a key question is, you know, should the upside be for the taxpayers, who have already suffered quite a bit? Should the upside be for the investors who will come in? Or is there some way in which we can share that? We can make sure that taxpayers in the end get a gain out of this. A lot of analysis to be done. The only thing I would like to make sure is that it's done fairly quickly.
How do you define whether there's a gain, or how do you judge whether there's a gain for the taxpayer?
We have, as I see it, in terms of what would be success for NAMA, it's like a three-bar gate. First of all, we repay all our senior debt, because that's a contingent liability.
That's the 32 billion that you paid for the 72 billion worth of property face value.
It's 30.2 of that 32 billion. That's the first bar. I think we will definitely clear that bar, and we will clear it probably ahead of time. We're already ahead of target. We're already ahead of target time-wise, money-wise, and that. The second bar is whether we will clear the repay the subordinated debt of 1.6 billion. Again, I think that bar now, it's quite clear that we will jump that bar. And this year, for the first time, we paid a coupon on that subordinated debt, which in turn was useful for the banks in terms of their balance sheet. And then the high bar is beyond that, because if we make anything beyond that, then that is a real gain for the Irish people. And that's intruding into the gap between the 34 billion that NAMA paid the banks and the money that the government had to put in to recapitalise the banks. I think there's every prospect now that NAMA will make a profit and will clear that bar as well. That's how I would judge our success.
But from what you said earlier, it would appear that your view is that putting the whole lot on the market at the end of whatever's left at the end of 2015 might be rushing the fences. You mightn't get over the gate, you mightn't clear those bars by as much as you'd have hoped.
Just right now, I'd like to be sure, you know, that something like that will get us over the fence and that the run-in is clear. And I think that's the analysis, that's the pathway we're analysing at the moment. So I'm not drawing any conclusion at the moment, but what I'm saying is NAMA has gone on a pathway, taken an approach that has been stabilising and has brought us to our goals, interim goals, well ahead of schedule right now.
You mentioned housing, social housing and housing, I suppose, just for ordinary buyers who wouldn't be relying on social housing. This time last year, I think the figure of units was something like 179 provided by way of social housing. Has that improved since?
It has dramatically. In fact, to date, we've provided 649 houses under that social housing programme. There are another 400 certainly going to be delivered this year. So by the end of this year, there'll be a full 1,000 houses delivered under that programme. Now, remember, you know, we're only part of this. First of all, we weren't set up as a body to deliver on social housing. But I would have to say that if you take any programme in the history of the state, probably that 1,000 delivered by the end of this year is probably the single best delivery. We offered 4,500 or 4,300 properties, I think, to the local authorities, to housing associations. They have come back to us and they said, yes, we're very interested in over 2,000 of those. As I say, we'll have 1,000 delivered by the end of the year, and we will have the guts of the same again, hopefully delivered in 2015.
And what will happen to the other 2,000 that they don't want?
They will go on the market, they will be rented, they will be part of the asset sale from NAMA, but somebody will end up in those houses, you know. So again, even though it won't go to social
housing... Is that because they're in areas where there's no real demand or need?
It's partly that, and it's also partly because the local authorities would have their own views about concentration of social housing in particular areas, the suitability of particular houses for the type of families that need them. We can't call that one. We have to leave that to the people who are responsible for it.
The government takes the view that there's a serious need for literally thousands of houses, new houses or residential units in Dublin. What can NAMA, what will, and Michael Noonan said last week he's looking to help out in this. What's your plan for that?
Okay, I suppose there are two elements to it. First of all, we are committed to providing 4,500 houses in Dublin in the next few years now. And we have actually set up a residential delivery team to do that. And that would be NAMA funding our own debtors to build 4,500 houses in Dublin. And we will front load that as much as possible into 2014-15. Now, we also have land or sites, or control over land or sites, or our debtors have, which could potentially deliver another something like 20,000 houses. Now, these are not all shovel ready. There are planning issues, there are other issues, infrastructure issues, but we think they have the potential to actually deliver 20,000 houses. And we will work with our debtors. In some cases, we may fund directly. We'll work with joint venture partners in making sure that as much of that 20,000 potential as possible is delivered. And that will be a focus of this.
How quickly could those houses be made available and have people living in them?
I think the 4,500, certainly you're talking about the next couple of years, by 2016, and we will try to front load as much of that as possible. The 20,000, it depends on where they are in the planning system, where the infrastructure issues are. We need to get joint venture partners in to work with us. But we're certainly saying they have the potential to deliver within the next 4 to 5 years.
A general question, how are you getting on with the developers who came, I won't say to you, but who you inherited from the banks or took over?
Well,
How many of them would you describe as cooperative?
We took in about 850 developers in total, and some big, some small. Probably 850 of them didn't really want to be with us. We have managed, because our approach always has been to work with developers where possible, if they're prepared to work with us, if they're viable and they're cooperative. And we're working with about 2/3 of those on a consensual basis right now. I'm not saying that still means that they love being with NAMA. I'm sure most of them would like to exit us in the morning. But it is a productive working relationship. And in some cases, because one of the things that NAMA is doing is actually putting money back into the economy, back into construction. We've already 600 million at work out there in the economy. We have another 400 million approved as investment capital. We have said we have another 2 billion that we're prepared to do that. That is working with these debtors where they're prepared to work with us. And that's keeping jobs going as well, because our debtors actually directly employ at least 15,000 people.
Brian Lenehan, the late Brian Lenehan, talked about going after borrowers, developers particularly, for every last cent. Now, presumably, that was just talk at the time, maybe trying to capture the mood that was out there abroad in the land, so to speak. NAMA seems to be far more pragmatic than that.
Well, I think whether it's pragmatism, realism, whatever you like to call it, the reality is we have gone after all of every one of these 850 debtors, we have gone into great detail on a business plan with them. We have chased assets where we thought they had put them beyond use or tried to put them beyond NAMA. We have succeeded in recovering at least 850 million in those type of assets. And you will be aware from court cases that we are still in that process with some debtors. By and large now, I would say, apart from the ones that are still in play, we think we have got a handle on all of the assets that were put that they tried to put away from us. We will still keep chasing debtors where they can repay, and whether it be a personal guarantee, whether it be some other asset that they have, we never take our eye off that until they exit NAMA and until all of their debt are repaid. The pragmatic bit comes in where, does it become economical for NAMA to keep chasing something that is not worthwhile in the end? I think that's where the pragmatism
arises. Might also, I mean, emerge in another way, or at least be evident. OK, the skies are no longer filled with their helicopters at race meetings, the like. But is it correct that you are giving, you have arrangements made whereby they can take salaries from their companies of up to 200,000 a year?
We have, again, let's go back to pragmatism, right? We have a pragmatic and a very difficult decision here to take, which is difficult for all of us, that you have a multi-billion debtor portfolio, and the debtor is prepared to work with NAMA and realise the best possible value to that for the taxpayer. And in return, you agree that they can, out of their revenues, they can take a salary. Now, we have just three people who are allowed to take 200,000. In each case, they are managing, and managing, I would say, in fairness to them, quite diligently, multi-billion euro portfolios for us. The alternative is that we would put in either an asset management company or a receiver. I can assure you that if we did, the cost to NAMA would be an absolute multiple of that 200,000. It would, in fact, at a minimum, I think in each of those cases, probably be 2 million. So it's a pragmatic decision. The amount of money that we are allowing debtors to take out for salaries has been decreasing, by the way, over the years. And remember as well, because they're taking that out of the business, it's actually still a debt to NAMA. So that eventually there is a reckoning at the end of the day.
And what about the average? I mean, you say there's only three on that upper level at 200,000. Yeah. What's the average?
Most of them, I think, are around the 50, 60,000. But there are only three in that upper level. There are some at a higher level as well. I don't have the figures right with me. But in total, it is, I think, something around 10 million that's being taken out.
One of the criticisms that's been voiced frequently is that it's really impossible for people outside NAMA and maybe outside the department as well to know just how well you're doing. Because, for instance, you recently disposed of a portfolio in Northern Ireland with a face value of 4.5 billion. But that number is really meaningless because we don't know what you paid for it and we don't know what you got for it.
I suppose this gets to the heart of a regular debate about NAMA and secrecy or transparency. First of all, I'd say in terms of our accounts, our accountability to the Oireachtas, to the minister, overseen by the Controller and Auditor General, our own internal auditor, we produce very detailed accounts every year to a very high standard. There's a plethora of information in our annual report on all of that. But when you start talking to people about all of this, it comes down to, why won't you tell us about Sean O'Rourke's loans with the banks? How much was Sean O'Rourke's loan with the bank when NAMA took it over? How much did we pay for it? And what will we sell it for? And there are three things at play here. First of all, there's banker confidentiality. We took over the loans. We also took over the confidentiality restrictions applying. There is the law, the NAMA law itself, which requires us to maintain confidentiality. And there is the actual commercial reality of not revealing our hand. In the case of Northern Ireland, for example, we set a reserve price for that portfolio based on what we thought was the value. We got more than that reserve price, I can tell you that. I can't specify the figure because, for a start, there's a confidentiality agreement with the company that actually bought it from us. And that would be quite normal in a normal In any commercial transaction. And if you go into commercial transactions knowing that, and they knowing you're going to breach that, it certainly will keep people away from the table.
Yes, but you see, you talk about an individual arrangement and you say, look, the Sean O'Rourke borrowings, whatever, if they existed. But you're talking here about a portfolio with a face value of 4.5 billion. So there's an accumulation there of all different loans. So surely you can give a bit more information.
Well, we've given quite a bit of information. I mean, we have said we set a reserve price. We exceeded the value of that reserve price. It's been widely reported, in fact, that we got about 1.6 billion euro for that.
And on a reserve price, reportedly 1.3.
And nobody's contradicted it. Okay, let's not confuse sterling and euro here, which I think people might be certainly.
Sorry, 1.3 billion sterling was what,
yeah,
I think.
Certainly 1.6 billion euro. That was for us in terms of financial results. It was a very good one. I think it was also, by the way, if you're talking about Northern Ireland portfolio, an excellent result in terms of us dealing with it in a way that did not in any way damage North-South relations, and in a way that was broadly welcomed by the Northern Ireland executive. That was actually very important to us as well.
So you're saying there are considerations other than the purely financial ones?
I think this could go back to the heart of what we started here in relation to NAMA and the future of NAMA. NAMA is a state body, so we will always be sensitive to issues like that in terms of whether it be Northern Ireland, whether it be the Irish economy, whether it be the impact of NAMA's activities on the housing market or the Irish economy or whatever. We're a state body.
So it's not always about getting the best price.
It is mainly about getting the best price, and that's the requirement on us in the Act. But there's also a requirement on the Act, in the Act, as you know, in terms of a general social dividend. I think all of that has to be factored into any discussion around NAMA.
And finally, just to go back to the salaries question, your own employees, I think you've got 14 over earning over 200,000, according to the latest figures, three employees over 300 and one over 400,000. Again, people looking askance at some of those figures.
I think in terms of what NAMA is doing and the marketplace that it's in, you have to be realistic about those figures. There are a lot of people in NAMA who don't earn anything like that. There are people in NAMA who in the last 4 or 5 years, I think, have delivered extraordinary results for the Irish taxpayer. And we face, I mean, it's one of the huge challenges, actually, that we do face in NAMA, is that they are in a marketplace which is recovering, where there is great demand for their skills. And whether whether you're comfortable with the absolute levels of salary or not, the reality is that everybody in NAMA now is highly marketable. And if you don't match what's in place in the market out there, they will leave. And if they leave, that is a risk to NAMA delivering on its objectives.
The same could be said about the hospitals, the same could be said about the universities, the same could be said about the public service in general.
Absolutely. It's a debate that I think has wider implications. Yes, we have, absolutely.
Many?
We have I'm not sure of the figures, but certainly it is. In the last 3 weeks, we have had four people walk. And that is because of the attraction of salaries elsewhere. And I mean, we can have a philosophical debate about what the salary levels are. We have to face every day the fact that people in there are being headhunted, and in some cases are looking there. You know, a lot of them are young people with mortgages, more than anybody else in this country. And they will, quite understandably, look to see what's the best they can do for themselves and their families.
Frank Daly, chairperson of NAMA, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio.
Thanks, Sean.